And good morning and welcome into the Bruce Furniture and Floor Covering Studios for Mugs in the Morning here on KODY. We're going to start off the show by going right to the phone lines as we have State Senator Mike Groney joining us. Senator Groney, I know it's a busy morning for you, but how are you, sir?
I'm great. I'm fine. It is what it is. I can only control what I do. So it starts today, and nobody knows what direction it'll go or who will decide who. But first up is select file bills and a bunch of the many of you probably know we had some problems with the youth rehabilitation and treatment centers in Geneva this year, last year, and then at Kearney. There's four bills come up right away on select file, and there's going to be amendments to them. There's a fight between some in the legislature who want to micromanage the HHS system and the governor and his HHS department about how to manage that situation. And it was the legislature that caused the mess in the first place when they changed juvenile justice laws and put a lot of the juvenile problems, crimes into Health and Human Services. So what happens in Geneva and Kearney was we had social workers trying to control criminals and no guards, and then they tore the place up and made a mess of things and escaped and caused grief in the Kearney area. And now the chickens have come home to roost, and the governor's trying to fix it. They announced they're going to move all the female females to Hastings, and that was a surprise move. If you remember right, Hastings had that large facility. It was for mental health,
right?
And it sits empty. So there's another program they started there for young male I believe it's drugs and mental health for young males, but they're going to switch things around, take all the males to Kearney and all the females to Hastings, and now some in the legislature are upset because they didn't have a say in. Anyway, it's a mess. It's senators trying to micromanage the governor's the executive branch's purview over that. So I'll probably sit pretty still during it. Some of them I'll vote for. They need to be done. But that'll consume the morning. There'll be a lot of discussion on it. And then we go on to, there's a whole bunch of them. They're going to change provisions relating to hemp by hollering. That's basically on the hemp farming that they legalized last year for medical purposes of marijuana and rope or whatever, you know, cloth. But it shouldn't have a lot of problems. It's not a big issue anymore. It's what some of us said on the floor. It was a flash in the pan that this would all collapse, and it did. Colorado has a mess. Farmers didn't get paid their rents. Marijuana dropped from $50 a pound to $10 a pound because of overproduction and for these CBD oil purposes and other medical purposes. So there's not that big of a... Actually, by delaying, we probably saved some farmers from going bankrupt, because they invested a bunch of equipment to start raising it. But anyway, it's up. I mean, it's just a lot of bills. My bills don't come up. Tomorrow, the big day for our office, our LB 147 comes up in the afternoon. That's the Student Teacher Protection Act, I call it, and training. And, of course, there's some going to try to bring into the mix that it's got something to do with race. And I'll make the argument it's perfect timing for this bill, because we're going to train employees of the school systems how to treat everybody by their behavior, not their physical presence. You don't put attributes of behavior to somebody's race or sex or social economic situation. You look at the behavior and you work on the behavior. But, and that's the truth. That's what the training does, the Boys Town model. And it gives school employees the tools they need to handle these situations and the protections they need, legal protections they need to do the right thing when they need to do the right thing. You know, something's going wrong in our public schools. If young minorities are coming out of our public education system thinking that the world's against them, somebody gave them that idea or treated them differently in a public school, I would guess. They spend a lot of time there. So we need to change that attitude. Make sure when a parent drops a child off at the front steps, they know their child is safe and they're going to be treated fairly. And they're going to be notified when something does go wrong. More and more that's not happening. And in the bill, the parents have to be notified if their child physical intervention is taken or if they're removed from the classroom. That's been going on since schools were built. Kids were removed from the classroom for behavior and sent to the principal's office. But all of a sudden now, some people think I'm reinventing something that kids can be removed by the teachers. We need to set that everybody knows the teacher's in charge. The adult in the room is in charge. And we've kind of failed to support those individuals, those teachers in the classroom last decade or so, and it's been drifting rapidly. But anyway, that's where we're at. Property taxes come up Wednesday morning, and then the incentive package right after it. So it's going to be a lot of drama this first week, and nobody knows what's going to happen.
Now, Senator Groney, do you feel that property tax is going to get, it's going to get hot and heavy debated, obviously, but do you think it's going to get much traction? Anything going to happen, you think, in this short session?
I just said anybody knows what's going to happen. But 720, the economic development, will not pass without property taxes. I am tired of hearing that we have to have this economic development because rich people got to get richer, but while the average working person can't get a break on his property taxes. To me, the best economic incentive stimulus we can do is property tax relief.
Mm-hmm.
So people have money. Farmers have. You got to pay your property tax if you make money or not make money. The economic incentives is you make a lot of money, and then we forgive your taxes. Well, that's a little bit backwards. There's people who can't pay their property taxes because they didn't make any money. It's a regressive tax, and we need to get be lower than 7th and 8th in the nation in property tax burden. That's where we are. And we need to support our schools. The new Census Bureau says that we're 49th. We raised to 46th last year. We're back to 49th in the nation of state support of our public schools. They put it on the back of the property taxpayers. So don't get me wrong. I'm going to support the economic incentive package because it does create jobs for people. But does Nebraska need jobs right now? We're historically one or two lowest in the nation in unemployment. So we're fully employed. What we need is property tax relief so we can stimulate the economies in rural Nebraska with freeing up some money to be spent on Main Street. So I don't think anything's going to happen unless somebody betrays us, but we have 18 or 19 votes to stop it, and they have enough to stop property tax, so somebody's going to have to give. Somebody's going to have to give on their side to let property taxes pass, and then 720 will pass. But that's the way it is. That's the way it's been for the last year. Nothing has changed.
Again, we have State Senator Mike Groney joining us for our weekly legislative update. And Senator Groney, the last time that you and your fellow senators were together at the state capitol, it was to pass emergency funding to allow the governor some flexibility in terms of battling the coronavirus. Do we know how much of that money that you and your colleagues approved is still there?
Most of it.
Okay.
The governor got and used the federal money, the $1 billion of federal money, to pay for almost all of it. He did a good job. It was just an insurance policy that he wanted in case the Fed money didn't come through. But a creditor isn't going to sell you PPE equipment if they don't know you have money to pay for it. You can't tell them, well, we'll pay you when the Feds pass something. So he had to have an insurance policy that he could get the stuff going and ordered and and supplies he needed, and business knew they'd get paid. But no, it's, I think he used $2 or $3 million. I think he said that were used for purposes other than what he could use the Fed COVID CARES Act money for.
Okay.
So that's money we got now for property tax relief.
Okay. I was going to ask what happens with that money that's left over then.
It's got a deadline on it of June. I think it's already passed. I'm not sure. It's, there was a sunset date on it. If he didn't use it by a certain date, he couldn't use it.
Sure. Okay.
So that's where we're at.
Very good.
And we'll see what kind of turnout that we have. I think most everybody will show up. Senator Moser, who did get COVID, says he'll be in the building. He won't be on the floor a lot, but he'll be there when we need his vote, which is good. Otherwise, there'll be a lot of ranting and raving and about the condition of the country, but that's known, and we will deal with it.
Have you been down on the floor yet, Senator? Can you tell us what it looks like? I know that there's
I haven't been there. I'm going to be under the balcony. My staff just went out and put my laptop up there and set it up.
Okay.
I can't change it. I've learned a long time ago my time is very valuable. I do not do things that I can't change. So going up there and looking around wouldn't have made any difference to me.
No, I agree. I was just curious what it's going to be different, that's for sure. I know that it's closed off to some media is allowed, but for the most part, it's closed off to the public, I believe, right?
Yes, a lobbyist can't call people off the floor, can't be in the rotunda. Staff can't be on the floor. Only when you present a bill, your aide can be off to the side and get you the information as questions come to you from the floor. But that's about it. I think there will be some pages there to bring notes to it. So anyway, I've got another conference call at 8:20, so I've got to get going. But I wish I could tell you everything's going to be sunshine and lollipops. Did we get any rain back there?
We did.
Well,
that's good news.
Small amount, but still
where,
some.
Where you're in my house is, no.
Oh, all right. Dang. I was going to ask you to go shut my sprinklers off.
No, man. It was a great lightning show, but we didn't get any rain.
All right. Well, I've got to get going. Thank you,
Senator. Best of luck for you today.
Good luck, Mike.
That again, State Senator Mike Roney joining us here with our weekly legislative update. Quite a bit to get to here today on KODY. Our Nebraska State Senators are reconvening today at the state capitol in Lincoln. Senator Groney's there. You heard him mention that he believes the majority of his colleagues will be there at the capitol. There was a colleague of his that was diagnosed with the coronavirus. However, he has made a big recovery and will not be down on the legislative floor rather than to just vote, as Senator Groney mentioned. So property tax is going to be the big topic here with the state senators reconvening at the state capitol in Lincoln. They have 17 days left and still have a lot of heavy lifting to do.
It's going to be a mad dash.
Oh, yeah. They'll be working some late nights, and they're definitely going to be working as much as they can, getting this quite a bit to get to in that 17-day session. I can't believe it. I don't know how they're going to do it, but they don't have much of a choice. Got to get it done.
I got a hunch that not much is going to get done. It's just going to be one continual argument.
Well, it is such a unique situation that we find ourselves in down at the state capitol for many reasons. But one thing that I'm real interested to keep an eye on is Senator Ernie Chambers. This is possibly his last 17 days in the Nebraska unicameral. Many times before, he's termed out, set out a term, and then ran for the office again. However, he's getting a little bit older. So the rumor is this will be his last 17 days in the office of a state senator. So it's interesting to see what happens with Senator Chambers. He's obviously one of the more vocal senators in the state of Nebraska, and especially on the racial issues. So he's going to be very vocal these 17 days, we know. And if it's going to be his last 17, I'd imagine that's going to make him all that more vocal.
I wouldn't bet on it.
I don't know. I could see it going either way.
I think if he finishes this one out, and I think he's term limited this time.
Yep, he is.
So he would have to sit out a term.
Yep.
And come back again, which would make him about 85, 86 when he came back. And I wouldn't bet against it.
No, absolutely not. I wouldn't either.
He's in pretty good shape.
He is. He is in very good shape for his age. But I don't know. I could see it going either way. He sat out many times before, set out a term and then gone back. So it definitely could happen. I could see it going either way. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. Time will tell, I guess. But Senator Ernie Chambers, obviously, we'll see what happens with it. His final 17 days, at least in the near future, he could set out a term and then go back. We'll see how it shapes out. And I think it's going to depend, too, how things are going in the state, too. You know, if racial issues continue to be a hot topic here, I could absolutely see Senator Chambers, you know, throwing his hat back in the ring. And if he does run for office again, you know, he's going to get elected to that office.
Have you ever seen Ernie Chambers in a situation where there wasn't racial problems and he wasn't, you know, vocal about it?
Right there at the center.
Yeah. In all the years he's been there, have you ever seen that where it was not an issue with him?
Yeah. Yeah, you bring up a good point. And he stands up for what he believes in. I will give him that.
He's a great politician.
He serves his
constituency well.
His constituents love him.
Yeah.
His constituents do love him. And you can say what you want about the guy, but he does stick to his guns, and there is something to be said about that. He does stick to his guns.
So. He knows the legislative procedures probably better than the people that wrote them.
Yeah. He does. We do need to step aside, take a quick commercial break here on Mugs of the Morning. The local conversation continues after a break here on KODY.
When legal representation is required, Lindemeyer Law Office is your first call. This is Bob from Lindemeyer Law Office. My staff and I have more than 95 years of combined experience in law and will work for you. With specialized knowledge and skills, we have the experience in criminal defense, immigration law, probate and estate law, along with family, custody, and juvenile law, and personal injury. Our team of Amanda Spikert, Kent Form, Shantae Durham, and myself have made differences in people's lives. Contact us for free initial consultation at Lindemeyer Law Office, 534-6740, or at Flat Rock.
Menser Oil Company's card fueling station at Francis and Cottonwood is proud to offer premium lead-free, alcohol-free 91-octane gasoline. High-performance engines, including engines with turbochargers, may specify premium fuel for optimal performance and fuel economy. And motorcycles, lawnmowers, and other small engines thrive on premium gasoline. You'll find premium gasoline competitively priced at our card fueling station just north of Walmart on the corner of Francis and Cottonwood.
JC's Auto Wash and Quick Lube wants to thank you, North Platte and the surrounding area, for voting us number one car wash. They appreciate the support you have given them for 35 years. Remember, JC's Auto Wash provides the fast and efficient service to keep your car clean. Protect your investment with the original soft cloth wash and hand dry that JC's Auto Wash prides themselves on. Don't forget the Quick Lube at JC's, offering the fastest oil change in town. JC's Auto Wash on the corner of G and Dewey in North Platte. 35 years strong.
JC's, count on us.
Now, what is the census?
The census is a special time when we count every single person in the country.
Do kids and babies count, too?
Of course. Counting everyone in your home helps support your neighborhood by funding schools, hospitals, and more. So complete the census by calling, going online, or returning your form by mail. It's totally private.
Visit 2020census.gov and...
Make your family count!
Brought to you by Carnegie Corporation of New York and the Ad Council.
When choosing the best material for your next countertop or workspace, whether you choose granite, quartz, solid surface, or laminate, take time to choose the combination of color and material that fits your personal lifestyle and design plans better than any of the others. Stop by the Do-It Center in North Platte and experience Western Nebraska's premier selection of countertop and workspace options. Residential or commercial, no one sells better countertop for less than the Do-It Center.
And welcome back to Mugs in the Morning on KODY, 1240 AM and 106.1 FM, both members of the Husker Radio Group. Here at 825, your time and temp is the service of Mike and the crew from your local Grease Monkey. 825 at 66 degrees. Today we can expect a high of 82 degrees, with a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m., partly sunny with a high in the low 80s today. Tonight, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, with mostly cloudy skies, around a low of 64 degrees tonight. Tomorrow brings a 20% chance of showers showers and thunderstorms after 1, sunny with high in the upper 80s. Tuesday night, additional chances of precipitation, cooling off around the mid-60s. Wednesday, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 1 o'clock. Sunny on Wednesday with high in the low 90s. And then looking at the extended part of the week, Thursday brings a high in the mid-90s, mid-90s on Friday, mid-90s on Saturday, and then chances of precipitation coming on Saturday night into Sunday. So, a lot of chances of that moisture coming our way, Rick, and we could definitely use
some. We'll take it.
Absolutely.
We'll take it.
Absolutely. We could definitely use some. It's been pretty dry here this year. Corn's looking pretty good, though, for the most part. Made a trip to Sutherland on Saturday and was able to get down the Highway 30 and look around, and I thought, my goodness, I can't believe how good our corn's looking so far. Irrigation pumps have been working awfully hard this year, though.
My little micro section of corn, I tell my farmer buddies I have two sections of corn.
Mm-hmm.
The sections are about 12 feet by 12 feet. My little raised bed gardens, but they are looking good. They're starting to tassel out and set ears on them and doing well.
It's that time of the year.
The rest of the garden is starting to explode. The peas have pretty much been done. The beans are in high gear right now. Corn is growing. Tomatoes are about ready to explode.
Yeah, my tomatoes are doing really well. Took a little bit longer than what I would have liked, but they're looking pretty good now. Need them to change colors, though. I've got a lot of good-sized ones, but a lot of green still left on them.
I planted antique or vintage-type tomato, and they're cherry tomatoes, but they turn purple when they're ripe.
Really?
It almost looks like they're, you know, if you're normally looking at a red tomato, you think, oh, that one's rotten, but that's what it's supposed to be.
That's a little bit of an adjustment.
And these are, you know, one of those old, just a long time plant, hadn't changed very much.
Interesting. I've never heard of these before.
I have to bring you some in.
Yeah, I'd love to see them. What's the taste? About the same?
Yeah, they taste good.
Okay. All right. Interesting. No, I've never heard of these before. I'd love to try them.
I'm trying to think of the name you call it when it's a vintage, antique type. One of our listeners, our great gardeners out there, can tell me what that word is. But It's one of those, you see it all the time. These are the type of tomatoes that are, and other plants too. They're long-time hybrids, I guess you'd call them.
Okay.
For that.
Huh.
But interesting ones.
Yeah, awfully interesting, that's for sure.
I've got a trellis built, and I'm growing my eggplant up that trellis, so ultimately, the plan is they'll grow up that. This thing is curved, you know.
Okay.
And then the fruit will hang down from the trellis and be easy to pick.
I have time for a quick phone call here before our news break. Good morning. You're on the air with KODY.